Bill Toy.
The laziest hour of your day. It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care.
You listen to KFC Radio.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be
I still didn't know the words. I didn't know the words last week and I forgot them again this week. What's going on? It's your boy KFC and this is Mail Time. It's the laziest hour of your day during the most wonderful time of the year. This is the second edition of Holiday Mail Time. We're in full-blown Christmas mode now. Last episode was wrapping up Thanksgiving, looking forward to Christmas, talking about the month of mail time that is the holiday season. Right now, we are smack in the middle of it, folks. It comes with the good and the bad, though. It's the most wonderful time of the year, but we all know for the Cube Monkeys that wonderful is kind of a relative term now, isn't it? Because there's a lot of shit that goes on in the Cubes during the Christmas season that kind of fucking sucks.
It's like the opposite of a silver lining. What's the opposite of that? You're like, this is the most wonderful time of the year, but there's always something terrible
going on.
It's like
there's really – the cloud doesn't have any lining. It's just like a little bit less dark gray. It's like this is the light gray portion of the shitty cloud raining down on your monkey cage. So we're going to get into some of the things that absolutely fucking suck during the holidays in the Cube life. And then we're going to bring you the – we teased it a little bit last week, and I got such a good response about it when I was playing random holiday songs. People have been asking me for my top Christmas songs. So we will be getting into a true mail time holiday countdown where we bring you the top – I don't know. I think it's like 15 songs we picked out for the holiday season. Before we get into all sorts of Christmas shit – I got to talk to you about one of my favorite mail time stories in the history of mailing it in. Now, Brennan, what is the theme of this podcast here? What do we always say?
No one is above mail time.
Nobody is above mail time.
I got it right. I'm glad.
5 extra bonus points for you. Honor credits for you. There was a story that I blogged on Wednesday that – so let me back up. Like you just said, no one's above mail time. And I have proved this throughout several episodes of this podcast. We have proven that the clergymen, the men of the cloth, are not above mail time. We have proved that the armed services, the dudes who fell asleep while guarding nuclear warheads, are not above mail time. We have proven that Alex Rodriguez and professional athletes are not above mail time. Everything in between, we've proved there are people who just say fuck it and mail their job in. But this one is absolutely my favorite of all time. And I'm talking about the sign language interpreter at your boy Nelson Mandela's funeral. This guy, so this is probably the biggest funeral since, like, the last Pope died, I would imagine, right? I mean, Nelson Mandela is a big fucking deal.
Right.
One of the most important humans to ever live, really.
If you can have, like, consistent, recurring death hoaxes about you, like, where people are like, he died, and then it's just not true, like, whatsoever.
That's, like, the highest honor of all. Yeah. People are waiting, with bated breath for you to die because you're so important, and they want to be, like, they want to honor you. And he finally kicked the bucket at age 95, one of the greatest peacemakers of all time. And then they had this big, badass funeral for him. I think it was in, like, the fucking stadium, right? It was in, like, the soccer stadium or some
shit, which
he probably built with his own hands or something.
Nelson Mandela Arena or something.
So they're in Johannesburg in South Africa, and this is what it says. South Africa's Deaf Federation has confirmed that an interpreter using sign language during the Mandela Memorial was a, quote, fake. What does that even mean? The man, who signed for a portion of the televised event at Johannesburg's FNB Stadium, was simply making up his own signs. The unidentified man seen around the world on television next to leaders like U.S. President Barack Obama was, quote, moving his hands around, but there was no meaning in what he used his hands for. Three sign language experts said the man was not signing in South African or American sign languages. Dude just stood up, on the stage next to the most important people in the world talking about one of the most important people that has ever lived doing fucking hand puppeteer motions, making shit up as he went.
How does this happen?
How is this the guy that they chose? This has got to be their like the number one sign language guy in Africa. They, you know, they're rolling out. They pulled out all the stops for your boy Madiba. There was no sort of like half-assing this funeral. Yet somehow the main sign language guy is up there just making shit up. I've always thought that sign language people make shit up because they do like three or four hand motions for like five paragraphs worth of speaking. It's just like they always – I said this on my blog. They always do this thing where they make a big wave, like big arcing motion from their mouth down to their hand, and then they like spread their hands out. And they just do that over and over and over again. And then they make like a three symbol with their hand. They do like – they're always flashing threes.
Yeah, like you got to think that the deaf people watching whatever you're watching are not really getting the whole story.
There's no way even – all right, this guy was just fucking mailing it in. There's no way even the best interpreter is getting you every word.
Right.
They're paraphrasing. They're like, this is kind of what he's saying.
Yeah.
Like Mandela was like a good dude and did a lot of work. And then I can't fix the rest of that. I fell too far behind.
Right.
It's like when you're trying to – have you ever tried to like transcribe something? I do this a lot on a blog. If I'm trying to like type out a quote from a video, I'll try to just type along with what they're saying. And
you got to be able to be fast.
You got to be able to type fucking a million miles a minute. Sign language people, it's like times 10. So it's already to me a farce. I mean, you remember – Bloomberg's chick, right?
Yeah.
Lydia Cialis
like
or some
doing
shit.
The salsa.
She was fucking just dancing. That was just like Bloomberg has this like chick who dances alongside of him. And then there was that the Super Bowl bro who was just so into it. That guy is like the pinnacle of sign language. This dude in Africa, for sure not the pinnacle of sign language.
So do you think he's been snaking it the whole time? Like, has there been other events where this guy needed to like sign
stuff?
This is
the biggest snake job I've ever seen because he has made his way to the top not knowing how to do sign language. That would be like me – it's pretending to know a different language. That would be like if I was like Barstool's like Chinese correspondent and I just didn't speak Mandarin.
He just wrote words that looked like they were Chinese.
My boy in college once took Mandarin as a class. This is my buddy who is the ultimate snake. Like he taught me more about snaking it my way through life than anyone. Dude took Mandarin, does not know a single word of it. He took like two semesters of it, and he got a B+ in both classes. You can't snake your way through that. They don't even use the Roman alphabet. He used to get this chick to do the homework for him, and he would just kind of like string the chick, and she would photocopy her answers and her work and all that shit, and he would write over her work with like a blue pen so it didn't look like fucking photocopied papers.
Save it for the college episode. We're still working on
it. That's right. College episode coming your way. Probably never, but we'll keep stringing it. So this dude probably has been going all around Africa doing like all sorts of fucking African presentations with people talking about like AIDS and blood diamonds and all that African shit. And it just wasn't high profile enough.
And all the deaf people.
I mean, how many deaf people are?
They're like, what? I don't understand.
Right, and they were just probably like, I don't really give a fuck.
No, they were probably
anyway.
Like, it's my fault. They probably just felt dumb, and they were like, I can't keep up with this guy. He must be really good.
He's a pro. I'm not fluent in sign. I'm only conversational. And now all of a sudden they were like, all right, well, you know, call in your best guy. Time to do Mandela's and be like, broadcast all across the world. This guy was probably like, fuck.
But ballsy.
Me.
Dude just walked up there like,
fucking Costanza, that shit.
Yeah.
This was the George Costanza of African Sign Language. Dude, just deny, ride it out. So that was, if you're keeping track at home, this as far as the power rankings of mail time, put the African Sign Language guy at the very top. You are my boy. You are Stoolie of the Week. All right. So let's get into the Christmas life. Christmas when you're a kid, awesome. Absolutely no complaints. There's not one thing to complain about when you're a kid.
No.
Time off from school, snowball fights, hot chocolate, movies, presents, done.
You know, it was the best when you were really young. And did you didn't go to Catholic school at all, right? You were all public school?
Yeah, no, I was like a dumb poor kid in public school. How about that? My parents send the firstborn to like some fucking bougie, nice Catholic school.
St. Mary's, baby.
St. Mary's Star of the Sea. And then the second child comes along. It's PS175 for you, bro.
You guys didn't even have walls.
No wall. We didn't even have classrooms. We used to have classrooms in the fucking stairways sometimes. We were like,
that was hood.
We were like the poster child for like how bad public education was.
Yeah, but I went to St. Mary's, and you know, for Christmas, the nuns were just like,
we're gonna give you like 3 weeks off.
They're like, December, you basically didn't go to school. They were just like, wait, Christmas is in this month. We're not doing anything.
My girl, the principal, PS175, Mrs. Elwanger. That name is straight out of a fucking movie. Principal Elwanger. We were lucky if we got like 15 minutes off for fucking Christmas. Because that's what the blue-collar, hard-nosed public school kids did, a.k.a. the poor ones. How I was a poor kid and you weren't, even though we came from the same family. I don't understand that. But yeah, all that shit was good when you were a kid, no matter if you were poor or rich. Now, when you have to live the cube life in the holiday season, I don't want to sound like a Scrooge here, but sometimes it just makes all the shit you already hate about cube life. It just exacerbates all that stuff because it's just a time for more interaction and more socializing outside of work and more. Like pretending to be happy sort of shit.
Yeah.
And all you want to do is just get there, do your work like usual, and get the fuck out. And now you have to do the Christmas small talk and the holiday songs and the Christmas cheer and all that fake bullshit.
Right.
You want to do all that stuff when you get out, for sure.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. I don't want to Scrooge it. I definitely want to do all that Christmassy stuff. I just don't want to do it with that fucking fat Indian chick who's three cubes down, who smells like a mixture of dirty diapers and vinegar, who doesn't even really celebrate Christmas. She probably celebrates the Diwali or whatever the fuck it's called. And now all of a sudden I have to like smile and do a Christmas party with her. And it's like, what?
The Diwali.
The Diwali party. Kwanzaa or some shit. So... We're going to get into the Christmas party next week because that is just an animal all on its own. It's just a whole topic unto itself that needs a whole episode devoted to it. But there's so much other shit that goes on in the office, namely starting with Secret Santa. When I gave you, what do we call it? The Cube Survival Guide, the Ten Commandments of Cube Survival Guide.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things was don't ever join in any of the groups, pools, parties, committees. Don't ever join any of that shit. And the number one thing on that list that you're going to encounter is the Secret Santa. Some asshole overachiever, probably a chick, because chicks are always overachieving, is going to show up, and she's going to be the one organizing Secret Santa.
Like the party planning committee from The Office.
Exactly. And she's going to run around from cube to cube being like, do you want to be a Secret Santa? Do you want to do it? And that is the number one moment where you have to decide, and this probably should depend on how long you've been at the job or how long you've been a cube monkey. You have to decide whether you want to look that young lady in the eye and be like, get the fuck out of my face. Or if you're just going to be like, yeah, sure, I'd love to participate in your group thing with people that I pretend to like. Great. What you really want to do is like old man Marley the bitch. You want to like smash her with a shovel, and you want to cook her body in a dumpster until it becomes rock salt and then spread it all over the side.
No, man, the salt made the bodies mummies.
Oh, right. Shit, I should have known that. However, old man Marley did his thing. That's right. He mummified the bodies with the salt. That's what you want to do to this chick when she runs around asking about Secret Santa. But let's be honest, unless you're really like at the very end of your patience as a cube monkey, you're going to just say yes. You're going to do it. And let me tell you, man, it's as bad as you think it's going to be every single year. It's a whole crew of people all buying each other piece of shit gifts and gathering around to secretly give them out, and nobody is ever fucking.
You know, my main problem with it is that it really calls out the fact that you don't know a goddamn thing about these people that you work every day with, because you'd probably choose to. You'd probably say, I don't want to know anything about you, really.
And that's why it's a stupid fucking process, because I would say, oh, I got Brendan for my Secret Santa this year. I don't know. I'll get him like a Mets t-shirt because I know he's a really big Mets fan.
That's all I get from anyone in the office, because it's the only thing I tell anyone about.
That you do know. Right, right. You know,
I'm a Mets fan. That's the only thing I let them know.
Other than that, if you don't know the person and you don't know what to get, what the fuck do you do? No. You do what everyone has done since probably the dawn of like 2004. You buy them a $10 iTunes gift card.
Perfect.
Gift cards. What a fucking, what a godsend they are.
Thank God for that.
It's, it would 100% be better to just give somebody cash. Because you never fucking redeem these things. Gift cards are
just like dollar bills and some change.
Seriously.
Cold, hard money.
It's like, I'll actually just email you like 10 MP3s. Tell me your 10 favorite songs.
Can
I'll just like email them to you. Because
can I PayPal you? Can you PayPal people money?
That Why sounds- not? Because that would be better. I would just have that money right in my fucking pocket instead of having some iTunes card that I'm going to redeem like $7.75 or some shit. And then $2 goes unused. And they continue this billion-dollar scam that is iTunes gift cards.
I'd like to hear this. If somebody has found a technological way to just completely mail in the Secret Santa, if somebody's figured it out, there's somebody out there. There's somebody listening to this that's figured this out.
But the problem is you want to be able to give something tangible. That's the whole idea behind the gift card. You can't, otherwise, you would just give people a 20. You would write them a check or give them a 20, and you just be done with it. But this is like it comes in a little envelope, and you open it up, and they're like, oh, gift card. And it's like
– it's going to be a sticky note. Yeah. It's going to say check your email.
I owe you, bitch. I owe you. I don't even fucking like you.
But
so,
when you were in the cube, did they do the exchange?
Let me tell you.
Oh, God. That is...
Let me tell you right now, bro. I understand that every cube monkey has it bad. I get that. I'm not trying to say that my cube life was worse than anybody else's. But I promise you, my cube life, when it came to Christmas time and Secret Santa, was worse than any other cube monkey on the planet except for those side by side with me. The exchange was the single worst thing in the world because we had one dude who was my boy. He was actually a cool dude. He was a fucking genius. He like started my group. Cool guy. He insisted on being Santa. Now, what does that mean? You think, oh, like what he's the one who like, ho, 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 Brendan, it's your turn. That would be fucking pretty bad, right? No, no, no. He made people come and sit on his lap. You had to sit down on a fucking coworker's lap to open up your piece of shit gift from some piece of shit coworker you don't even fucking like.
So did he do that just to have all the chicks sit on his lap?
I'm sure he did. But all the dudes did it too.
Nah, that's not worth it.
I'm trying to remember if I did, and I probably did. I'm not trying to be a tough guy about it. I feel like that's something I would tell myself. Like I would be like, no, I'm not doing it. But at the same time, it was like my first job out of school, and like everybody else was doing it. So
I hope there's pictures of that.
Well, we'll get into pictures in a minute because there's pictures too. I'll have to blog these to show it to the world. Little Santa picture action, but the exchanging of the gifts was just. I wish I filmed it because not only were people sitting on the laps, but it was just like the same awful shit every time. It was just like, come on up, sit on my lap, and it'd be like. Oh, it's an iTunes gift card. Thank you very much.
10 in a row.
And then another one. Oh, my God. It's an iTunes gift card. This one's pink. And over and over. Then you sprinkle in a couple bottles of liquor. That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a great one. Even if it's like a cheap bottle of fucking Jim Beam whiskey or some shit. Whatever.
Because you're like, I'm going to go crack this open right now.
Hide under my desk and drink enough that I forget what the fuck I just sat through for about half an hour. The Christmas picture I used to take when I was an accountant, there was one chick, one manager, who just loved. I worked in the World Financial Center, and there was in like the Winter Garden. If for any of you who know it, there's all these office buildings and shit, but then there's also like a little. What's it called? Like a greenhouse sort of thing, like a big glass dome, and it's called the Winter Garden. And there was shops and stores and all sorts of that kind of stuff, restaurants, and also Santa used to set up shop down there. It was right outside of our building, and she insisted every year that the group goes down and takes a group picture.
So this is like a mall Santa.
Yeah, a mall Santa in the World Financial Center, and we would always go down, and, you know, there would be, like, some moms and some babies and some strollers and some little kids online, and then about 30 grown-ass adults dressed in business casual waiting to take picture with Santa and his elves. It was probably the weirdest, most, like, emasculating thing ever that I've, like, ever done. It was so fucking weird. And I remember at the time, again, all these stories I tell you of my accounting days were my first job. So a lot of shit I just, like, kind of did and was like,
I guess this is how cube life is.
Yeah, like, okay, sounds good. And then, like, I'm looking back and I'm like, what the fuck was going on? I mean, there were grown-ass men hopping in the sleigh with Santa. And, like, all the new people, all the new hires, like me and my friends, were, like, squatting down in a bunch of fucking fake snow. And then the photographer was obviously like, there's 50 of you, so we can't fit you all in the picture. So it took, like, 20 minutes because it was like, oh, Frank, I can't see your head back there. And, like, Pradeep, you're not in, so move on in. And I'm sitting there just like, get me the fuck out of here. Fuck Santa. This is crazy. I hate Christmas now.
This is good because I know there's going to be some first-time cube monkeys out there. And just know that it's weird.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's not weird. Like, it's like because plenty of places do strange stuff like this. But it's weird.
This is the difference. Like, that chick had been, that manager had been there for like 15 years.
Right.
She was broken.
Right.
She was a member. She was a Walking Dead. She had turned to the other side. She was a walker. I had not yet. And I kind of, for like a split second, slipped like, oh, I get it. We take one every year. And then you have a picture of through all the years. No, wait, no. Snap out of it, bro. This is fucking bananas.
It's like you're hypnotized. You're just like, okay, yeah, I guess sure. this is normal.
And the best part was, not the best part, that's a terrible way to say it, but year one, there was probably seriously like 30 people in the picture. And then the recession hit and like 20 people got fired. And then throughout the years, it was like 15 and then 10. And then like the third year we were doing it, there was like 7 people kind of just like staring at the camera like, please let me be the next one to be fired. Santa, all I want for Christmas is a severance package. Just Santa, all I want is some Cobra benefits. Please, please.
I still can't believe you made it through 3 rounds of cuts.
It's terrible because there were so many people ahead of me that deserved the job, that needed the job. I was doing such a bad job and snaking it and focusing like at least 50% of my effort elsewhere, and I somehow made it through. That's not so good. If you could see me right now, I'm like just cringing thinking about all the people that were out of work while I was doing Guess That Ass and getting paid for it. So I'll blog those pictures. You'll get a kick out of them because that seems to be a general theme here, people getting a kick out of pictures that I take. If you thought my engagement gate photos were bad, this picture, a couple pictures of me with Santa Claus are going to blow that out of the fucking water. What'd you think about your boys' photos? I was looking sharp as fuck. Sharp as a thumbtack.
Well, you know, I saw them ahead of time. And I was like, these are great for, like, a family. Like, we showed them to our mom and...
Yeah, it's like, you know, some things are not meant for all of the degenerates on the internet to see. Probably the top of the list being engagement photos. Shout out to the roommate on that one. She's like, I'm going to tag you. I was like, don't do it. Don't do it. She's like, I tagged you. It's like, well, you made your bed. Now sleep in it.
My favorite was that when she asked you, did anybody find them?
Oh, yeah. Huh, so did anybody see our pictures? Pretty much literally every single person on the internet saw every single picture that we took. They know like our address and everything now. Great.
I love that she was like, I only tagged you in one.
That doesn't matter. Tag me in one, tag me in 30. It opens the floodgates.
Like it was like
animals.
A smaller
animals.
Chance.
There's like a little, you know, you put a little bit of blood in the water and the sharks just go
right,
into
that's
a frenzy.
That's all they need.
That's all it takes. So yeah, be on the lookout for my Santa picture. If you are stuck in the cubes, if you can get out of the Secret Santa, I say you do it. But not at the risk of being like the office asshole, you know?
Right.
Just sack up, get the $10 iTunes gift card. And hopefully you don't have to sit on another man's lap. Draw the line there. I tell you that. I'll tell you this much. Draw the line there.
And you know what? But maybe like be prepared for it. Like have an excuse. I don't know what the excuse is. I can't give that to you right now. You have to do some work on your own.
Figure it out.
It's going to happen. It's coming your way. And like it will be awkward if you like literally if everyone else is doing it and you just won't. Like, but like, it's just like you're digging your cleats in the dirt and being like, no, I'm not going to. That's what right. you should do. That's how the world should work.
But
be ready for it. That's what we try to do here at Mail Time. We try and like prepare you for
we
the
want
life.
Your head on a swivel, bro.
Right.
So you know what's next?
Like, be out of the room or be, I don't know, eating. Like, I don't know what. Just be ready, man. Be ready. Just
come up with a plan. It's coming. Winter is coming. It's cold and dark. My other least favorite thing of the holiday season is going, quote unquote, going to see the tree. Now, it kind of ties into the cube life because in the holiday season, I would say there is approximately 15 billion people on the island of Manhattan at any given moment. If you're mail timing somewhere else in the country, I don't even know how it works. I don't even know what cube life means outside of like the Manhattan rat race. But I'll tell you this much. When you're fucking commuting on the subway or walking through the streets and there is just a zillion tourists all going to see the tree, it makes that desk rage feeling that we talked about early on go through the goddamn roof. Going to see the tree, my friends, is the single dumbest activity anyone in New York City can do. It's crowded, it's cold, and it's just a big fucking tree. Did you see the one last year? Do you remember what it looked like last year?
Was it different?
No. Because it never is fucking different. Did you see the one before that and the year before that? It's always a 40-foot green tree with big colored lights and a fucking thing on top. It's the same thing every time.
Because, you know, chicks always like to go see, what is it, the Macy's windows? Is Macy's the one that
changes
windows?
Oh, that's another thing. But I don't know enough about that to make fun of it, but that's stupid, too.
But, right, very stupid. Terrible. Something, you know, that goes back to the four pillars and the things
you
that
just bite
you pick your battles.
It.
Like, either you do it or you don't. But if you don't, that's one of your
concessions.
Yeah, well, it's like, if you don't go, that's one of the things that you decided to put your foot down on.
Yeah.
So don't forget, is that bad enough? It's pretty bad, so don't.
I put my foot down on the tree. That's the one thing.
Okay.
Luckily, she's not too into it.
Right.
But she's definitely been like, again, do you want to do it? And then I'm like, nah, that sucks. And she's like, yeah, it sucks.
But again, it's picking your battles. It's like, if you know she doesn't want it that bad, then it might be a good pick. But if she has to give that as a concession, it might not be so wise, because maybe you can just go out there and do it. But I'm saying, the Macy's windows, at least they're different. They change. You can understand. I can understand what's going through a woman's brain.
It's kind of like looking at like a piece, like a painting.
Right.
You know?
Again, something no man wants to do.
But at least
you can
behind it.
Yeah, see like, oh, it's different this year. It probably sucks just as much as it sucked last year. But it's not the exact – it's a tree we're talking about. It's big and it's green and it's still big.
I'll tell
and
you
it's green.
What, dude. I have seen a million trees in my life, at least. I've seen a million. How many have you seen? Probably a million. We've all seen millions of trees. Every year you have your own Christmas tree. This one's just a little bit bigger. There's absolutely no reason to go fucking suffer in the cold, crowded around with, crammed up with fucking Asian tourists taking pictures. And then the ice skating. Dude, the ice skating at Rockefeller Center is my favorite thing in the world because there's like 5,000 people crammed onto an ice rink that should hold about 200. And you're basically just like taking baby steps on ice skates.
Like, glide.
You're not gliding. You're not like couple skating. You're not like spinning backwards and skating backwards and like twirling a chick. You are just,
it's like you're on the subway.
You're walking. Imagine just walking in a circle on a subway car. If you can like visualize that, that's what's going on. Except it's still fucking freezing outside. But hey, you saw the tree. Goddamn idiots. One of my least favorite New York Manhattan traditions. Another one of the things that is fucking great when you're a kid about the holiday season is gifts. So you don't need to get them for fucking anybody. You just receive them. Getting gifts is awesome. Giving gifts...
Tis better to give than to receive.
So, tis better to suck my dick with
that. Was that like just like the big... What is that? Like a parable or like, you know...
You know what that is? A parable. That's like when they say when it like rains on your wedding day and they're like, that's good luck. They're just trying to tell you that a really shitty thing is good so that you don't just say, right, well, this fucking sucks. Tis better to give. Yeah. No, it's not. It costs me money and I don't get anything cool at the end of it. Tis not better to give. So when you're an adult, you got to give gifts. You got to buy gifts. and especially if you're in a relationship. So we got a reader email here from my boy, Vin. And he says, following suit with this whole engagement photo gate thing KFC has going on, I'll direct this relationship question to him. Buying Christmas gifts for your girl has to be the all-time worst thing in the world, right? Hey, Vin, you're really all about your girl, huh? You're just a generous lover, aren't you? Worst thing in the world, folks. We're not talking about plague or pestilence. We're talking about giving a gift to your girlfriend. Worst thing in the world. But how do you know how much to spend? Or a better question should be, how much over what you both agreed upon should you spend? Vin, the force is strong with this one. Because that is the correct question to
be
asking.
He's already on the right track.
He's listening. He knows the four pillars. Let's say you agree upon $100. You don't want to look like an asshole when you buy her a $95 gift and she spent $150. You also don't want to make her feel like shit when you drop $225 on something and she spent exactly $100. What's the safe, happy medium, he says. It's a good question.
Wait. Are you not going to finish the rest of that email? Where he says, seeing as Tom Brady, KFC equals Tom Brady, and since Tom Brady landed Giselle, that KFC knows as much. I think we're going. KFC knows as much as Tom Brady. KFC, he's saying, I think we're going a little overboard here, no?
I don't think we're going far enough. Ever since engagement photo gate, I've been getting probably sarcastic comparisons to Tom Brady, but I'm taking them. I'm fucking riding out. I wasn't going to read that part myself to sound like an asshole, but now that someone else did it, I'll pat myself on the back. What can I say? Your boy KFC kind of looks like Tom Brady. It's funny for me because I hate the guy's fucking guts, and all I've ever done is blog about how much I fucking despise everything he stands for. But then all of a sudden, someone says you look like him, and he's got a smoke show wife.
I don't think you ever denied that he was a good looking dude.
He's a great looking guy. I mean, he is probably the best looking man on the planet.
Oh, now conveniently that he happens to look like you.
The direct comparison was Tom Brady's gay retarded brother. I'll take it. That's still better than being what I was like 2 weeks before engagement photo gate, which was just a fat, ugly piece of shit. So any sort of correlation to Tom Brady, I will take it. Now back to Vin's question. It's a tough one. You don't want to go over. It's the same kind of thing when you do the Secret Santa, Michael Scott buying the iPod when everyone else walks in there with like, you know, a homemade teapot. You don't want to be the asshole that shows up the person you're giving a gift to, but you can't be the cheapskate that goes underneath. So what do you do? I'm going to defer to you on this one because I actually tend to probably go over and just be like, fuck it, whatever. I just want to get a good gift and get this out of the way and not have to think about it.
Right, right, right.
But there is something to be said, especially if you're in a new relationship and you don't want to go too far overboard.
That's the only time there's even any consideration. Because if this is your long-term girlfriend or your fiance or your wife, you cannot go too high. You can't. Yeah. Your wife, I mean, unless we're literally talking about you have kids and like you bought something that your family
needed
actually
the money
can't
for.
Afford.
Yeah.
Yeah. But other than that, that's the only thing that she can be mad at you for. Like you bought a piece of jewelry that's a little too nice. No.
All right.
Now that's so about setting the bar too high. You don't want to do that for get her to expect.
But let's speak to our boy Vin here, who clearly sounds like he's in some sort of, you know, new or younger relationship.
Right.
With a $100 limit.
Right.
This is clearly new and like in college, and you don't have any money and you want to like knock out of the park with a gift, but you got to be in the right range.
I think we've talked about this before in regards, maybe it was like to Valentine's Day or something like that. The guideline on this is what is her friends going to be impressed
by. It's not about impressing her. It's about impressing her friends.
You need to go a percentage over what her friend is getting.
But here's what I'm going to tell you. It's not always about money to impress the friends. I say what you do is you drop 100. You said 100? You drop 100. You layer it with some sort of sentimental shit.
Like a secondary...
A secondary gift, a secondary like the way you present the gift, even a well-written card, some sort of inside joke like teddy bear, let's say. It doesn't have to be a lot of money. But when she says like, Oh, then he surprised me by whipping out this teddy bear that on our first date at the carnival, I wanted the bear, but I didn't win the game and I never got it. And he remembered. And then that girl is going, well, my fucking dickhead boyfriend just went to Tiffany's and bought me a $250 necklace. Fuck that. How come I didn't get anything cute?
Very good point. Very good point.
It's not necessarily about the money to impress. You come with a little holiday cheer and a little bit of romance and a little bit of like inside jokeness, and all of a sudden the money doesn't become an issue.
Right.
So spend what you agree upon, but come up with something clever.
Wait, spend more than you agree upon. Whatever you've discussed with her, you go over it.
There's two trains of thoughts. You listen to your boy BC, you listen to your boy.
You gotta go over it.
I say you go max 10% over it.
All right. I mean, it's gotta be over. You can't go under. Don't err on the side. Yeah. Err on the side of spending too much.
Also, just trying to find something on sale, nigga. Shit. This is the holidays, but it's not time to just go broke. Got bills to pay, kids to feed. These go a little bit over, but make the sentimental value your real, like, extra.
Right.
Because her girlfriend.
Got to give her a story.
We'll be like, oh, that's so cute. And also, that's kind of how you get your D sucked that night. Like, you like tug at her heartstrings a little bit.
Because she knows she has to reward you. That she knows that that's what you want. Because you're going to get a $100 gift and you're not going to even really care about it.
Yeah, no, you're probably going to hate it. You're probably going to be like, this sucks.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But you're going to get what
you want. Exactly. And how you're going to get it is by doing something cutesy and romantic. So, Vin, there's your answer. Go a little bit above, but hit her with the sentimental value as well. But on that note, let's end the doom and gloom. And let's jump into the festivities, the mail time Christmas music countdown. Your boy has been really into Christmas music this year. I think because I'm stuck at home all the time. And if you don't really get out there, like Christmas could come and go for me and I wouldn't even really like know it. Like TV has all the specials. I watched my Home Alone. I watched Frosty the other night. I was home on a Friday at 8 o'clock. Married life. What's up? And I fucking just straight up watched Frosty the Snowman.
I love how you have about a year to go before you're actually married, but you've just...
Bro, fuck that noise. When you move in and you give the ring, you're fucking married, dude. It was Friday night at 8 o'clock, and I just flat out watched Frosty the Snowman. I was just like flipping around. I think like the Knicks were on, and I was like kind of watching that, but I was like, I'm just going to watch Frosty for the next half hour. What a dumbass Frosty the Snowman is. You know how dumb he was? He was a fucking retarded snowman. Every time they put the hat on, he'd go, happy birthday. Oh,
right.
No, Frosty, it's fucking Christmas, dude. You fucked it up again. I guess it's Jesus' birthday if we're trying to be nitpicking about it. Technically, maybe it was his own birthday because Frosty was coming to life. Maybe he was wishing himself happy birthday. But he was a fucking moron. So I watched Frosty. I watched Home Alone 1 and Home Alone 2, which everybody knows by now because they read my blogs, which were, I'm just going to flat out say it, they were Pulitzer worthy. I put about 75,000 words into all the idiots from the Home Alone series. But other than that, like,
you live tweeted it too, right?
I live tweeted it two nights in a row. And I considered AMC is running it like it starts at 8 and ends at 10:30, and then it just starts up
again.
It's got
like show notes and
yeah,
everything.
Yeah, fuck the show notes. Just watch the first running and follow along with your boy at KFC Barstool. My notes are a lot better than theirs, trust me.
AMC should just air your tweets next to it.
Right? Oh, by the way, that's a business endeavor I want to get down. We need to talk about that off the air. That's going to be the next hot shit. Those fucking movie notes, people love them. But if you could package it like your favorite movie with movie notes from.
Don't give out the ideas.
All right.
Actually, give them out because if somebody needs to help us do this. Any network executives are listening to this right now?
All the execs who are Mail Time fans, because I know you're out there. I'm available. We're available to talk. All right. Anyway, my point was I don't get out much. So the whole Christmas atmosphere can just really pass me by in a matter of a month. So I have taken to going on YouTube and I type in Christmas mix. Listen to this, bro. It's amazing. You can have a 3-hour Christmas mix that not only has the video is a log that's burning, it makes the crackle noise. So I'm basically having Christmas every day by myself with me and Duncan. I'm having fireside Christmas music with me and my man Duncan all day, every day leading up to Christmas. So I have been down with the Christmas scene this year. But I'm going to count down the top like 10 or so of my favorite songs, a couple of my least favorite songs, and we're going to kick it off right now with your boys, Wham. This is so 80s. This is the one from the 80s.
It's real mellow, real chill. We didn't think the intro would be this long, did we?
We never think through the music very well. We made a playlist this time, so it should go smoother, but... There it is. Let the beat drop. Oh, I mean, the synth in the back is so unreal. George Michael just crushed the song. Just kicking it off so right with your boys, Wham! Exclamation point. How cocky is Wham with that exclamation point? That's by far the gayest thing about Wham. There's a lot of gay shit about Wham. George Michael. Was George Michael the one that got caught jerking off in the movie theater?
Yeah.
That's about as gay as it gets, whipping your dick out in a movie theater with other dudes around. That's still not as gay as the exclamation point at the end of Wham. This is the kind of songs we're talking about, by the way. I'm not going to sit here and play you Jingle Bells,
right?
Okay? I'm going to play you some Christmas classics. We're going to play songs that are just straight fire. We're going to play you songs that are classics. We're going to play you songs that I hate. We're going to play you songs that are just undeniably popular. These are just the Christmas songs you need to know. And Wham! From the 80s is on everyone's list. And if it's not, you're lying to yourself. This is definitely on every chick's list. If you're a guy and you're trying to front like you don't like Wham, you got some sexual issues you need to work out, dude. Because the straightest guys can admit that Wham is straight fire. Let's move it. What do we got next?
Hang on. We're gonna have to get better at this eventually.
Listen to the lyrics, folks.
I really can't stay.
But baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
But baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has
been hoping that you'd
so
drop in.
Very nice.
I'll hold your hands. They're just like
my
ice.
Mother will start.
She's basically
to
protesting here.
This, my friends, is as close to date rape as you can get. Are you listening closely?
So really, I'd better
give me a pause. If you're not listening, like this is like when we go back to last week when we broke down the 12 Days of Christmas. All of a sudden, you're like, wait, what the fuck is this song about?
It's about a zoo.
That song is all about birds and horns. Okay, that song makes no fucking sense. Baby, it's cold outside. Off the top of your head, you're usually like, oh, it's a great Christmas song about, you know, it's cold outside and you want to be by the fire and snuggled up. No. Baby, It's Cold Outside is all about some dude trying to score some pussy and a very reluctant chick who's like, please let me go home. And he's just throwing out every excuse you possibly can think of to try to steal the deal.
Be just a half a drink
but
more.
Half a drink more. She's breaking.
The neighbors
might think we're fucking.
Say, what's in this drink?
Oh, that's a roofie.
I wish I knew.
Your eyes are like starlight.
Their eyes.
Break the spell.
The drugs are kicking in. I can't escape. I can't feel my legs.
No.
Please, no. I'm saying no to the
no
sex.
No means no.
No means no.
What's the sense of hurt?
I really can't stay.
Baby, don't hold out. Baby,
but it's cold outside.
It's cold. I'll fuck you. I'll just fuck you. I mean, first of all, let's talk about... You gotta realize, I believe this was made in 1949. This was not when chicks were just spreading legs. This is not when chicks were banging like 25 dudes in a career. They banged like one. That's why she's like, the neighbors might know. Because it's like, ah, they're not married. They shouldn't be fucking. This chick is nervous. Meanwhile, my dude, what's his name? Bobby something? Bobby Mercer or some shit?
Johnny.
Close enough. Bobby
Mercer. Johnny Mercer.
Frank Gadsby. Johnny Mercer has game, my friends. I mean, he's complimenting the eyes. He's telling her it's too cold outside. Don't worry about your mom. Don't worry about your sister. Let me get you a drink. Let me get you another cigarette. Just, it's a war of attrition. It is. Getting pussy is a war of attrition.
Even back then. Even at Christmas time.
From cavemen days, that's what it was, dude. Chicks, they have the pee. They put it on the pedestal. And you have to climb up to the pedestal to get there. And then you have to drag her down from the pedestal. She's going to want to stay up there. No matter what she's saying. She's saying, I don't want to give it up. And you're saying, it's cold. You're saying it's cold outside. Don't go out there. Stay with me. Take your pants off. Let me put my penis inside of you. It's Christmas time. This is another one. Listen to the lyrics of this kinky little mix. She ain't talking about the holiday spirit.
Santa baby.
You hear that voice?
Just slip a sable under the tree for me.
This chick wants the dick. If you could swap her out from Baby It's Cold, the chick from Baby It's Cold with the chick from Santa Baby, there'd be no discussion. There'd be no song because Jimmy Mercer would have just been balls deep up in that chick.
Santa Baby.
These are some old school jams you got there.
Oh, and she wants a 54 convertible. Yeah, no problem. This chick is like, I'll suck your dick, but you gotta give me something nice too.
Santa, I ain't saying she a gold digger.
This is where Kanye got it from. I mean, how
Kit?
What sort of a sultry? She's a black chick, by the way. That'll change your whole perception of the song. She's a sultry little black minx. She just wants Santa to come up in her chimney. Come down your chimney. Come all up in mine, if you feel me. I'm telling you, man. These Christmas songs. You think it's all about fucking. You think it's all about brotherly love and perpetual hope? Nope. It's about getting the dick.
I didn't think it's about a lot of Christmas songs about sex.
Getting and giving the dick.
How about that for like a pickup line? You're at the bar, like, what's your favorite Christmas song? Because mine's the one about fucking.
Let me get you in the mood, girl. Because it's about the one where the dude has a fucking raging hard-on and wants to stick it inside the other chick, who's definitely a little bit wet, but she's still a little bit hesitant.
This is not the Christmas special. Actually, this is the exact Christmas special that people were anticipating.
Oh, yeah. If you were thinking you're getting anything else, you are sadly mistaken. So those are the two most sexual songs. We'll definitely call it that. So hurry down
the chimney tonight and fuck me. We'll do anal, I promise, tonight.
Some kinky shit. What do we got next?
We're still not out of like the 1950s.
Dude, I'm an old school kind of cat.
Dreaming of a white Christmas.
Your boy Macaulay singing this.
That's, like, let's be honest, that's primarily why I picked this song. Everyone knows my obsession with Home Alone. This is my favorite rendition of White Christmas.
There's a lot.
There's a lot, and I think a lot of people always talk about Bing Crosby. Bing Crosby's version, I think, is the one that everyone blows their load for. Fuck that noise. Give me these guys, the Drifters. They're just like an old school, like bunch of black dudes who do the acapella. You know I love my acapella. Acapella meets Home Alone. No wonder I love this fucking song. But you gotta picture Macaulay Culkin fresh out of the shower with his hair slicked back, singing along into his comb like it's a microphone.
About to put the aftershave on.
Ah!
We gotta break down. We're gonna break down Home Alone at some point, right?
Oh, there'll be a whole premium episode for anybody who signed up for the yearly membership at KFC.
Yeah, are y'all listening on the app right now?
Everyone downloads.
Because you should be.
It's so much easier. It's all right there. You can listen on your app at your desk while you're traveling. Download the app. But we'll get to Home Alone. But this song needed to be on the countdown. There's only one more song from Home Alone that really triggers the Home Alone memories for me. And that's the next one on this list right here.
This is your boy Bobby Helms. Bobby.
You know what's so funny? I didn't know any of the names. Like, I just automatically assumed everyone was Nat King Cole, Bing Crosby, and like that was really it. Here's a little fun fact. Your boy thought Bing Crosby was black up until last year.
I think I had to find that out at some point. I think I made that natural assumption also.
I was 27. I got 27 years thinking
I don't know if I think I found it out
Bing
before
Crosby
that.
You know what it was? I never watched any of his movies. I never saw White Christmas until last year. And then I was like, isn't Bing Crosby. He's fucking white. I just because Nat King Cole's black. I just assumed the other guy was black, too.
No one horse sleigh. Giddy up. Jingle horse, pick up your feet. I don't know if I've ever listened to the lyrics of this. Is this one about sex, too? It could be.
Who
I don't
knows?
Even know.
This one is about double penetration and a gangbang.
That's the jingle bell.
That right there is just a good old, like, to me, that is, it's not like a corny Jingle Bells that you, like, you don't want to just listen to Jingle Bells.
Right. That's like a carol.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess so. Yeah. That to me is like the most Christmassy. You have the bells in the background.
You're decorating the tree.
Yeah. You're enjoying yourself. You're drinking maybe like hot chocolate with a little bit of like Jameson in it or something. You're enjoying yourself. You're actually enjoying
you're seducing a young lady
who's begging you to leave, but you're basically, it's you and the snow versus this poor girl's will. It's like me and 6 inches of snow are going to eventually break you. You will fuck us. Yeah, and if not, here's a roofie in your drink.
He was praying for colder weather.
Oh, like, absolutely.
I wanted to go. Like,
all right, keep it moving. What do we got next?
It's your favorite.
Oh, no. This song, my friends, fucking sucks.
You look disgusted.
This is, so, I alluded to this earlier. There's parts of the Christmas holiday season that you hate in the cubes. And as much as we love the Christmas music that we're doing right now in this countdown, I can get down with this part a little bit. Feliz Navidad song, to me, it's the ultimate, like, I've heard this 65,000 times since Thanksgiving in my cube because, like, the fat secretary plays her music out loud with no headphones. And the only song worse than that is this one. This song fucking sucks.
Hey, jingity jing, it's Dominic the Donkey.
Let me tell you something. If you like this song, I hate you.
Some people were tweeting you about this is their favorite.
This song, you know what this song reminds me of? And I don't know if this is in my head or not. The Yankees. I think they play this at Yankee Stadium.
It does. I don't know.
Or like during
they play like something similar to it, right?
Yeah, like during their like seventh inning stretch or something. They play something to this effect, and it fucking sucks. This and Feliz Navidad, two worst songs. Get it off my computer. I can't even stand to listen to it.
That's a song that sticks in your head, too. And you just
stuck all day, and you're in the cube, and you like some songs, and you hate others, and it seems like Feliz Navidad and Dominic the Donkey are on every other song from Thanksgiving to Christmas, and you want to just blow your fucking head off.
We line this up because you love this one.
Comes the time for Christmas. Yo, I don't know if people really know this song or not. A lot of people aren't going to know it. Blues Traveler, Christmas. I'm telling you right now, this is the top 5 song of all time.
All time. I wish you one horse open sleigh
would come carry me away. John Popper, you magnificent fat bastard.
Is he one of those dudes that lost all the weight?
I hope not.
Okay. Where's Blues Traveler now?
They tweeted me the other day. It was like the biggest moment in my Twitter career.
Blues Traveler tweeted you?
Yeah. Listen to this jam, dude.
sings, if it's Hanukkah or Kwanzaa.
Fuck those two holidays.
Solstice, harvest, or December 25th. Peace on earth to everyone and abundance to everyone. You're with la 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 la.
Boy KMC is playing the air drums right now.
I always wanted to play the drums. That was the one instrument I wanted to play. I always do air drums. That's my go-to.
You have no idea how to play the drums either. Like, you're, like, hitting the wrong...
Yeah, no, I'm just moving my left and my right, like... Let's talk about Blues Traveler for a moment. Blues Traveler has a very special place in my heart. I'm not, like, a diehard fan. Like, I couldn't tell you, like, the name of all their songs and all their albums and shit. But Blues Traveler, to me... Remember when Tupac said, "Have a party at my funeral, let every rapper rock it"?
I do remember that.
Have a party at my funeral, let John Popper rock it. Let him just crush my funeral
harmonica.
With that harmonica. They are so fucking smooth, bro, that they're just their whole vibe. That Popper kind of like sings, but then he kind of like raps a little bit sometimes. Yeah. It goes like double time. And then it's just like so sexy. God. And then you throw in the little Christmas vibe. It's a very unpopular song, and I was very surprised because I tweeted out today, everyone let me know your favorite songs, and one dude tweeted me this, and I wrote back to him, and I was like, I thought I was the only person on the planet Earth that knew Christmas by Blues Traveler. It is a fire jam.
As if from every Christmas past, it's as if each year it grows.
I think you're legit putting hundreds and thousands of people onto this right now, because I don't think anybody knows.
Nobody knows this song.
Christmas by Blues Traveler.
Very creative, but.
Wait, are you telling me, did Blues Traveler do like a Christmas album?
I think they did three. I think this is off of their Christmas album 3. It's called something like Always Christmas 3.
That must be a compilation, right?
Of no, like no. It's,
various artists. Jam. All right, what do we got next?
Can we just go back to Blues Traveler and play that over and over again?
Do you want
to
play like old Blues Traveler songs? Or play like
Hook? I should have just put Run Around on this. Like, it has nothing to do with Christmas, but it's my favorite song to play at pretty much in any scenario ever. Oh, wait a minute. Now we got to talk about Bolton. Michael Bolton, Our Love is a Holiday. If you don't know it, you know it now. Michael Bolton, even sexier than John Popper.
Michael Bolton is your boy, huh?
Michael, I have a very irrational love for Michael Bolton.
I love that he's like kind of back, right? Oh, didn't, like Lonely Island kind of brought him back, and
at this point, he's like making fun of himself. He's like, I'm fucking Michael Bolton. I'm gonna do whatever I want. He is the man, dude.
Now, didn't Michael Bolton? I wish this was a video podcast. I need to find this right now. Your boy
Casey,
he's got the headphones on. He's on the mic.
This is like my karaoke moment. I don't fuck with karaoke, but right now I am vibing out.
I'm definitely filming this next year.
Michael Bolton, I have a few people that I have an irrational obsession with, and Michael Bolton's one of them. It started, I think, because of his song, How Can We Be Lovers? How can we be lovers if we can't be friends? That's on my Guilty Pleasures countdown. It's just such an absurd song and it just bangs so hard that I just have to rep Bolton for that. Like, if for no other reason, I have to rep Michael Bolton for How Can We Be Lovers. The other people I have an irrational obsession with, the athlete that I most... that I'm most obsessed with for some reason, Dante Bichette.
Okay.
I could not tell you one reason why. Dante Bichette just always sticks in my head. You can say the name, just say his name, and I fucking laugh out loud. Dante Bichette, Michael Bolton, and the third, Gerard Depardieu. I have one actor, one singer, one athlete. My actor is Gerard Depardieu. I fucking love the guy, especially now. He's kind of like Bolton. He's made a comeback. Gerard Depardieu was at like the World Cup last year or whenever the last fucking World Cup was.
Didn't he like renounce France or
something?
Yeah,
like he was a free agent for a while. And Putin wanted to sign him. I think he ended up signing with Russia. He signed with Putin.
Signing.
Putin, that was a fucking
steal.
That was a savvy move by by Putin. He knows. See? Putin knows what's up. I'll tell you right now, if Michael Bolton or Dante Bichette were ever to renounce I don't even know. I'm assuming Michael Bolton's Canadian.
He does feel very Canadian, yeah. Doesn't he?
Have you seen his commercials recently?
I
almost bought a Honda the other day just because of his new Honda commercials. And the commercials are unbelievable because he's just singing about Hondas. It's Michael Bolton singing about Hondas. And even the people in the commercial, like the Christmas shoppers, like the car, people buying the car, look at him like, what the fuck is going on right now? And that is like the exact point. What the fuck is Michael Bolton doing in his life? Michael Bolton.
Lonely Island is like a gimmick. And like
that one was so money though.
But when he was just singing about, what was it, Pirates of the Caribbean?
It was so fire.
Like, I mean, that was perfect. Good stuff. I wanted to download that and listen to it like just on the subway.
Well,
like,
make sure you download Our Love is a Holiday. Because that's another one. This, to me,
get away.
This to me was like the pop, the like original pop song to me. You know what I mean? Like NSYNC did it, and Backstreet Boys did it. But Bolton fucking knocked it out of the park with this one.
Next up.
Now we're getting serious.
Oh right.
It was all fun and
top
games,
five, right?
It was all fun and games. We're talking about chicks getting fucked on Christmas, and talking about how I want Blues Traveler to play at my funeral. Bolton's a joke. We all get it. But we're coming into the top five now, so now it's all business. These are my top five Christmas jams. Again, not Christmas carols. I ain't talking. I love Away in a Manger. I love First Noel. I ain't talking about church songs. I'm not talking about jingle bells. These are just fire music centered around Christmas. Number five. Start us off.
Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas.
Your boys in sync with Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. You knew it was going to be on there. And if it's not on your list, again, you got some sexual insecurities. Because in sync, JT, doesn't matter who fucking sings the song. This is a
chick's love.
Chicks, yeah, that's the other thing. All these songs that make you gay actually make you knowledgeable about things that chicks love. You know what? During Baby It's Cold Outside, if that dude just put on Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, she probably would have just taken her pants off right then and there.
This whole series has now been a way to seduce that one woman from the 50s. You're like, what else? How else could this
guy
have gotten
it done? Well, really, that's all life is, seducing women from the 50s.
I have no idea if we're even allowed to play all this stuff on a podcast. All this copyrighted music?
We're probably
going to
get sued.
Work out great,
hey, I'm also pretty sure you're not allowed to just slap Joe Pesci's face on a fucking t-shirt and sell it, but I'm doing that too.
The Wet Bandits. Get
Merry
your shirts
Christmas.
Here. Suck brick.
Happy
JT killing it. Want to go next?
Yeah. You needed this one. You can't have a countdown without this song, folks. It's probably the most popular Christmas song in the history of the Christmas songs.
Don't want a lot for
chicks love it more than anything on the planet Earth.
Oh, that's KFC internet right there.
It's the remix.
Oh, it's skipping on us. Look at this. We got to start it all over again.
Check it never happened.
That's the DJ right there.
Mariah Carey is still cashing checks from this song and always will be until the day her great-great-grandkids die. That's how fucking popular this song is.
You.
over, Mariah. A lot of people are going to yell at me because guys and girls alike are going to tell you this should be the number one song on a Christmas countdown. I'm not going to give it that distinction. But it is an absolute banger. And you can't have, if you have a list without this song on it for Christmas, your whole list is invalid. You have no credibility anymore as a Christmas song surveyor. Make my wish come true. I mean, there's not much to say about it. I mean, it is what it is. Everyone knows the song. I'm going to tell you, though, the reaction that chicks have when you put that song on, it's unlike anything I've ever seen in my whole life. I remember I was at Casey's in Hampton Bays. Anyone who vacations out there in the summer, they know it. It's like you go to Bordy Barn, you go to the Drift, and then you used to go to Casey's. I think
no
it's
more
closed
Drift
now.
For you.
Oh, my God. Christmas. What's the opposite of a Christmas miracle? Big fucking lump of coal in my stocking. The Drift out in Hamptons, in West Hampton, has been turned into a African-American Coast Guard museum.
Because that's what we needed out there.
Are there even any black guys in the Coast Guard? How many black guys are in the Coast Guard? That's like
enough
black
to
guys.
Fill a museum.
No, it's probably there's like two guys, and that's why they're famous, and that's why they get their own museum. It's like the NHL. Yeah, there's a couple black hockey players, but come on! Fucking black Coast Guards. Get the fuck out of here. No more Drift. Top five favorite bar of all time for me. Maybe top. It might be like number two. Right up there with Parker House in Jersey. That's how much that. That's how great that bar was. But Casey's. One time it was. It wasn't even Christmas in July. That's another thing the Drift used to do, which crushed it. Everyone just pretended it was Christmas halfway to December 25th. It was just fucking amazing. Just one random summer night in Casey's. Like 1 minute we're fucking dancing to, like, Flo Rida. And the next minute, the DJ just drops, Mariah, All I Want for Christmas Is You. And chicks just went insane. Almost, like, too insane. It was like if you were in the middle of, like, laying game or you were about to take a chick home, like, nope. Because she just totally fucking forgot about you. She's dancing with, like, random strangers on the floor, like other girls, just belting out the lyrics like they're Mariah in the studio. It's a powerful song. It embodies all about Christmas. It's everything. It's Christmas, at one point, she goes really fast. All right, top three territory now, right? Smooth transitions here. Okay,
you can only do so much.
Give me a pause. Another holiday, another Home Alone classic. Home Alone 2, Lost in New York. It's when he first arrives in New York City. He's on a taxi. He's going over the bridge into Manhattan, and they drop this Darlene Love with your boys, the E Street Band. Borrowed them for Bruce for the afternoon, and they dropped Alone on Christmas, and it's a masterpiece. Oh, the saxophone. Give it to me, Clarence. Oh, Clarence Clemons. Rest in peace. The big man, Clarence Clemons. Let it flow. I love how you can always tell an E Street Band song. It's got the saxophone, it's got the pianos, and it's always got that one weird sound. It's like someone playing the triangle or some shit. It's got that chiming in the background. It's just like, boom, you instantly know it's Bruce, you instantly know it's the E Street Band.
I mean, you can't have a Christmas list with the E Street Band and not talk about your boy Bruce Springsteen, Santa Claus Coming to Town. So we'll flow right from Alone on Christmas into perhaps the greatest rock Christmas song of all time.
Cold battle on the beach. The wind's whipping down the boardwalk. And man!
You're not in the Christmas mood after this list, after listening to this podcast.
Then you're a Jew.
You're a Grinch.
Oh, Christmas time.
Nobody... Nobody does the pre-song talk better than Springsteen.
Yeah. Clients,
is there anybody alive out there?
So Santa bring you a new saxophone.
Santa bring you a new saxophone.
Everybody out there been good or what? Oh, that's not many. Not many. You guys in trouble out here. Yeah, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
This is like a real classic song, you know? This is like the real classic.
This is one of those songs, it's a true Christmas song. It's like a Christmas carol that has been touched by the boss.
He's making a list, he's checking it twice. He's gonna find
Max Weinberg on the drums. You know that should be your boy KMC. You know I should have learned how to play the drums. I'd be in a band right now, I wouldn't be a fucking blogger. I'd be playing the drums, getting all sorts of groupie pussy.
Let's get you drum lessons and film that shit.
Oh, I'd be so bad.
He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. You better be good for goodness sake.
Love that. What a perfect song. Oh, hey, give it to me, Clarence. Bring it back up.
He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake.
Springsteen. The God, the boss. You know they're doing... you can take classes at Rutgers this semester in Springsteen's, like...
discography or something?
No, it's like his religious undertones.
Well, wow.
He really is just a God amongst men. He's a divine being. What a fucking class that is. You're in Jersey taking class about the boss, getting credit for it. It's fucking amazing. I know a lot of people thought that was going to be number one. And it probably should be, let's be honest. Probably should have been number one. Not going to lie. It's iconic. It's like a classic rock song by one of the greatest musicians of all time. Probably should have been top of the list. But I got a number one that is kind of, it's always been like my Christmas song for the past few years. It's a band that if you're like a dumb, Mick, drunk donkey like myself, you know this band. I don't even really know them. It's not like I could name all their songs or their albums, but I've seen them live, and they're always playing in the bar, whether it's fucking Rory Dolan's or Saloon or all on McLean Avenue, like Piper's Killed. All this weird like Irish places. I feel like I'm always hearing this band, and it's Shillelagh Law. It's a band that if you grew up in the Bronx or this area, you just kind of know them. I don't even know why I really like them. I think I just want to like them because they're like this Irish band. I'm just like, yeah, I'm a big Shillelagh Law fan. It's like I couldn't even tell you more than three songs. But this Christmas song knocks it out of the park. It's a 9/11 tribute. It's a Christmas song, and it's just a fire jam. I play it every year on Barstool. I post it on Barstool New York, taking you into Christmas night. It's Christmas in New York.
Do they know about this up in Boston?
I'm sure the drunk Irishman of Boston knows Shalala Law, for sure. If they don't, shame on them. I mean, the beat builds. You got the violin.
This makes me feel... like, it makes me feel cold, but cold like
in
it's Christmas
way.
Time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm walking into the bar. It makes
yes.
me feel like I'm walking into the bar, though. Like,
you can smell, like, whiskey hit you in the yeah. face, kind of.
Winter is here. The wind is blowing. Nights are
it's
so
like an arm-in-arm kind of swaying. Like, and arm of the shoulder
you,
while you're...
You get real sentimental. You're, like, happy that people are alive, and you're missing people that are dead, and you're just like, let's get fucking wasted all at the same time. And it's also like, Merry Christmas! It's like all of the emotions hitting you at once.
You learn the words sometime way back when. It's Christmas in New York again. Fancy store windows and millions of lights. Downtown in December, what a fabulous sight. You spin round and round trying to take it all in. It's Christmas in New York again.
We'll actually be spending Christmas in L.A., so this might be the last mail time we get.
Your boy
get
BC's
one more.
Going West
we'll
Coast.
One more. We'll do the office one next week.
Yep. All right, we'll do a little housekeeping while we take you out with White Christmas. White Christmas. With Christmas in New York. Download the app. It's for free on iTunes and whatever the fuck people use on Android. I don't know what you poor people do, but it's on there. It's totally free. You can download it. If you want the premium episodes, you pay money per month. But the actual app is totally free. So
and by money per month, we mean
$1.
And actually, you just pay $12 once.
Yes.
And then you get 365 days.
So you just sign up for the app. You want the premium deluxe content. You pay $1 a month, $12 for the whole year. We'll hit you with another deluxe episode next week.
But you should have the app because then you can just listen to it anywhere you want. And you all, if you get the app... you can also listen online on your computer.
Yeah, it's like how fucking apps work. So everyone download it. Because it's like, you know, I don't need to really tell you the benefits because you should fucking know them by now. And you should download this app. It's perfect for what we're doing. It's like, want to listen to podcasts anywhere? Yeah, get the KFC Radio app.
And your boy KFC also set you up with the guys at Not Standard. You can still use the code.
This Christmas, you get a discount. Anyone trying to look sharp for Christmas, go in, meet up with your girl Jess. She gives you the custom measurements. You get hooked up with a fly-ass suit like I was. Presidential look. Presidential shit. So download the app. Follow us on Twitter, at KFC Barstool, at KFC Radio, at Brendan Clancy. Enjoy the rest of the song.
And those who gave all and bless all the souls who left us this year. You may be gone, but you'll always be here. Singing and dancing with family and friends. It's Christmas in New York again. And there's snow in the air. Winter is here. The wind is blowing. Nights are so clear. There's presents to wrap and cards to send. It's Christmas in New York.
Bill Toy.
The laziest hour of your day.
It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care.
You listen to KFC Radio.